your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:34 Tuesday. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS. It's up for grabs now. The import or the export import bank, I should say, may not exist very soon. If you don't know what it is, you're about to find out. We're now joined by Brent Gardner. He's the Vice President of Government Affairs at Americans for Prosperity. Brent, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, there are two sides here. I mean, there's those that say this is a key institution for our exporting businesses, and there are those, I believe, that you are with that say it's a corrupt institution. How did this thing come about, and what is the Export-Import Bank? What does it do?
Supporters of the bank are running out of steam on things that are honest and believable, but the Export-Import Bank is actually a product of the New Deal. I mean, ultimately, most of the things from the New Deal have kind of moved on. This is a bank that was set up to subsidize foreign purchasers of U.S. goods to basically try and provide support for our exports. Well, it's been a long time since American products needed this type of funding, mm-hmm. and it's been a long time since we needed to have that kind of exposure and risk to U.S. taxpayer dollars. Worst of all, the bank's initial charter and what its goals were to do at the beginning are about as far away as you can get from what the bank actually is today. Today, 90%.
Right. Well, I mean, in terms of risk, I mean, what is the record with the Export-Import Bank? How does it handle taxpayer money?
Here's the problem with it. Ultimately, the bank's own inspector general says that the bank's accounting practices are so bad that they couldn't even tell you how deep the problems are, because the records themselves don't take into account fair value accounting. There's irregularities. And ultimately, the biggest issue that I think we found out a lot about in the past year is the amount of corruption that exists at the bank. Right now, they've recently had one person just recently. There was an indictment. They secured a conviction. There's right. 31 additional indictments coming down for corruption.
Corrupt.
10 folks have been removed from their posts. I mean, the bank itself is a mess.
Connected to what companies, though?
Actually, these are bank employees that are accepting bribes and taking all kinds of actions that are unethical in the giving of these loans. The bank itself has become just a symbol of corporate welfare, corporate cronyism. Today, more than 90% of the loans that are given by the bank go to just 10 companies, 10 large U.S. companies.
Okay.
And altogether, they represent less than 1% of all U.S. exports.
Now, General James Jones, he just wrote a big op-ed in the USA Today. He's served as the National Security Advisor to President Barack Obama. He's a supporter. Now, here's part of what he said. He wrote, quote, "Last year alone, the Export-Import Bank backed U.S. exports valued at over $27 billion and supported 164,000 export-related U.S. jobs." And then he adds, "Using the accounting method required by law, the Export-Import Bank has sent to the Treasury $7 billion more than it has received in appropriation since 1990. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, they continue to make claims about the bank being a profitable thing. And that goes into a whole other question. You know, Ronald Reagan said
Is he correct there?
Well, he'd have difficulty proving that himself. And I guess the question I would ask is, if the bank is so profitable, how come they're asking to go from their $120 billion authorization to $160 billion? But I think the question even goes beyond that. Ronald Reagan said that the government shouldn't be in any business that you can find in the yellow pages. And ultimately, what we're talking about here is the government subsidizing, creating low-interest loans, and providing these loans to countries like Russia and China and Venezuela, and actually to their export-import banks. And because the Export-Import Bank, by its own admission, only serves 1% of U.S. exports, we're disadvantaging 99% of the rest of the exporters in this country and picking winners and losers.
Well, let me continue with some of the points he made. One is that we're not alone here. He notes that China, Europe, Russia, even Canada have expanded their state-backed export support. And he says China's multiple export credit arms have authorized more financing in the last 2 years than the Export-Import Bank has since its founding 8 decades ago. What about that?
Sure. Well, the Chinese stock market is up a third in the past year. The biggest winner has been the Chinese government. As a matter of fact, our Export-Import Bank has given money to the Export-Import Bank of China for them to give loans.
What? Are you serious? Are you serious about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and so I think if you take a look at this, I mean, the question here remains, do we think that people purchase these American products because less than 1% of our exports, such a small portion of it, is subsidized by this bank, something that ultimately we take out of the private sector markets? and ultimately provide these low-interest loans. I think the biggest issue here is when you talk about the companies that benefit from it in places like China, a lot of these are state-owned companies.
Right, so but I mean, it's not just, I mean, you got China, Russia, Canada, too. I mean, are we competing with other, you know, other competitors, other countries that are doing this? And I mean, do we need to stay at least in the game to match them?
Well, again, I think the argument would be made, even by the companies that receive these types of opportunities, that people buy American products because they're the finest products in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, we're actually giving loans for people to be able to purchase Boeing jets. There's a 7-year backlog for their products. Many times, the XM loans that come through after the products are actually already delivered. This bank is not what it claims and purports to be. It's become something where corporate cronyism and corporate welfare have become the tenor of Toontown. And ultimately, you can try and put lipstick on a piggy bank, but for the most part, this has been something that has been, unnecessary. It's duplicative.
It interferes with the free market. Boeing is concerned about this. I mean, do they pay the loans back typically, these loans that come from the Export-Import Bank?
You know, perhaps some of them. Ultimately, I think the question is, if this is such a strong business model, if it's one that's profitable, if these loans are the kind that we think should be the kind of acceptable thing, why would we take that out of the private sector? Why would we take good loans out of the free market? Ultimately, then business is disadvantaging not just the businesses that are selling and trying to export, but ultimately our financial sector.
Well, let me go back to General James Jones. He says the Export-Import Bank is there to support American jobs by financing our exports when credit is either, quote, not commercially available or when U.S. companies face undue competition in foreign markets from competitors provided financing by their governments. What do you say to that?
Yeah, well, I think the people, the 99% of other exporters who don't receive these XM funds, that are then forced to compete against companies that their government, who they pay taxes to, have funded, mm-hmm. would probably say the bank is disadvantaging folks. I know Delta, for instance.
Why are they excluded? Well, I mean, why are so many companies excluded from this bank?
Well, ultimately, they just don't participate. They're not necessarily excluded, but ultimately, the ones that do receive bank funding because they've been able to do this. I mean, for instance, the one that Chairman Hochberg championed so much, Jenny's Pickles, as something that's been fantastic. Ultimately, that bank wound up with the opportunity to use XM funds because they were able to get a jar of Jenny's Pickles into the chairman of the bank's driver's hands, and they were given to the driver. Mm. You know, I don't remember if you remember several years ago when they found a wad of cash in the Louisiana congressman's freezer, but that was an XM bribe. This bank has been nothing more than a continued sore, really, on the blight on ultimately the free market.
Okay, and the votes in June, right, that could potentially end this bank?
Hey, the good news is here, it's not even going to be a vote. The bank's charter is set to expire on June 30th. And ultimately, all Congress has to do to allow this thing to disappear into history is do what they're best at, which is doing absolutely nothing. Hmm. And this bank will disappear like so many other aspects of the New Deal have many, many years before it.
After 80 years, and then do you think it'll have any impact on our export industries?
I don't. I think ultimately our credit markets are strong. I think companies like Boeing and Caterpillar, General Electric, who even has its own financing arm, are going to have no problem securing the funding that they need. And I think foreign flag carriers like Air China and others who've used these funds in the past will have no problem, thanks to the booming economy of their countries, securing the financing needed to purchase these products.
Okay. Brent Gardner, Vice President of Government Affairs, Americans for Prosperity. I'm still stuck on it. You said that our own Export-Import Bank is loaning money to China's credit arms. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And not only China, but they've also done it in other countries as well.
Really? And that's just part of policy? They're willing to loan? I mean, that seems strange because we're loaning to foreign entities. Is that right?
The more you learn about that bank, the more you're going to find out that there's a lot of strange things going on. Ultimately, I think it's in the best interest of the American people. And I think a lot of those folks have called their representatives and asked them to go ahead and break the bank.
It's Brent Gardner again, Americans for Prosperity. Brent, thanks.
Thank you.
6:44 in 30 seconds, we'll find out about this amazing new study talking about parents and how they view their kids. And you'd be amazed how completely clueless and off base many parents are. That's next.